that we've been asking for the past few weeks. Who am I? What defines me? How do you define yourself? If I were to come up to you and ask you to introduce yourself to me, tell me a little bit about yourself. What things would come to mind? How would you define yourself? We've been talking about this for the past few weeks and understanding that you have a very specific identity. There is a very real answer to that question, and it's much bigger than I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and I vote conservative. It's much more than that. Your identity is not just your persuasions about life and your convictions and your personality and your sense of humor and your good looks. Your identity is much more than that. If you brought your Bibles, open with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, this will be up on the screen. But 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 is our foundational verse in understanding, you know, God who created us actually knows who we are. He knows who we are, how he put us together, and we have a very specific way that we are to function in this life. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 23, which we've been reading for the past few weeks. The Apostle Paul is writing this to this church at Thessalonica. He says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are three-part beings. When I look at you, I see your body. That's the only part of you that I can experience, is your physical body. When I communicate with you, I can contact your soul. I can experience your soul. You tell me, I say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And you say, "Hey, I'm having a great day." Well, that's an emotion that's based on your soul. So you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. That's who you are. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have certain desires in life. You have, you know, certain days where you're happy or you're sad. You have a personality. That's your soul. It's not who you are. It's a part of you. And then you have your physical body. It's your earth suit. It's what you wear as long as you're hanging around this place called earth. And so this is who we are. And the challenge that we face is understanding which one of these parts are we going to follow? Which one's in charge? How are we going to live our lives? We do that based on which one of these is in the lead, which one of these is making the big change. And what we talked about last week was the need to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12 says that we need to renew our minds. We need to change the way that we think, because how you think is going to determine how you live and how you respond to things in life. So Romans chapter 12, you can turn there. And we're going to be in Romans throughout this morning. And this is what we spoke about last week, where the Apostle Paul spoke about the need to renew your mind. We need to have some tuning done in how we think. We've got some challenges in terms of how we think and how we respond to life. So the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." If you want to know what the Christian life is in a nutshell, it looks like this. It's a process of renewing your mind and crucifying your flesh. You want to know what you're going to be doing every day for the rest of your life as long as you're pursuing after God? Renewing your mind and crucifying your flesh. Every day. This is a daily activity. What are you going to do today, Pastor Tim? I'm going to change the way that I think, and I'm going to crucify my flesh. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I'm actually going to inflict harm upon my body. It doesn't mean that I'm actually going to hit or abuse myself. This phraseology we have in the New Testament of crucifying our flesh, Paul uses it throughout the New Testament. And it is a means of explaining the fact that we need to deny our body things that it wants. Did you know that your body wants to be in charge? Your body wants to call the shots. He or she thinks that they are the big cheese. Thinks that they should be the one who gets to determine and steer your life. So when you look at your identity, you'd say, well, this is who I am. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. So my question for you this morning is, who's the boss? And it's not Tony Danza. Who's the boss? Who is in charge? Is your spirit leading the way? Is your soul or your emotions, how you make decisions? Everything's just based on, well, if you're in a good mood, that's how I'm going to respond. If I'm in a bad mood, then this is what I'm going to do. Or are you just led by your body? If there's one thing that I've noticed this week in preparing for this morning, is it's how much more often my body calls the shots than I thought it did. How often do you... Everything, like, think about the words that you say in a day. How much of it is 100% purely a reflection of your body? I feel like a nap. I feel like watching TV. I'm hungry. I'm going to go get a donut, cupcake. I'd like a cup of coffee. I'm in the mood for some Jujubes. I'm going to go to the dollar store and get some Jujubes. I'm stepping on my toes, not yours yet. Like, this is just my week. I'd really like a smoothie. Let's go get a smoothie. You know McDonald's has small smooth fruit smoothies on for $2? Do you guys know that? It's fantastic. I feel like a smoothie. I'm going to go get a smoothie. All week I'm preparing for this message. You're like, crucify your flesh. And I'm like, I could go for some Jujubes. This is how we're supposed to function. Our spirit is supposed to be leading the way. Our spirit is supposed to be in charge. Our soul, or the way that we think, is supposed to be renewed to the proper way of thinking based on what God says about life, based on what the Word says about our lives. We're supposed to change the way that our thinking happens. And our body is supposed to be an obedient servant that does what it's told. So our lives involve a never-ending cycle. Change the way you think. Remind your body it's not in charge. Change the way you think. Remind your body it's not in charge. Change the way you think. Remind your body that it's not in charge. You don't live for your body. Your body's there for you. This is the summary of our lives. Well, you're in Romans chapter 12. Turn back to chapter 7. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he's such a man of faith. He makes these bold statements that just make you feel like such an inferior believer sometimes, right? Like, he just makes these bold declarations and you think, wow, I could never measure up to that. And then he makes some statements where you realize that he's just like you and me. Romans chapter 7, let's read verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. You know, it's amazing. We actually have a desire to do the right thing. You ever realize that about yourself? You want to make good decisions in life. You want to do the right thing. That's what you want to do, don't you? I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, today I'm going to make a series of mistakes that'll ruin the rest of my life. Nobody wakes up and says, today I'm going to rob a bank, and then I'm going to get thrown in jail, and then... Nobody just wakes up and decides to be a bad person. Nobody does that. Everybody wants to make good choices. But Paul says that I don't always do those things that I want to do. Can anybody relate? And in fact, sometimes I do the very things that I despise. I hate them, and yet I do them. In spite of our best intentions, we don't do the things that we always want to do. We know the way that we want to live life, and yet, despite all of our good intentions, we still choose wrong. You know, they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions are great. We all have them, but it's following through that's difficult. So Paul was able to say, I don't understand my own behavior. I don't get myself. I don't understand myself. You know what this is called? Inner conflict. Inner conflict. You know, they say, and you can experience this, it's, sometimes it's really hard to get along with other people. You know what's really hard? Getting along with yourself. Would you agree? You're like, yeah, other people, you know, that creates some tension sometimes when you got to work in teams and you got to work with, you know, your coworkers, your boss. You know, there's tension there. But I mean, just try getting along with yourself. That's real hard work. Why? Why is that so hard? Because you're not just your body. You're three parts. There's the spiritual part of you. There's this emotional, soulish side of you. And then there's your flesh. And so often, all three of you don't agree. So you get into arguments with yourself. And you wonder, and you go, I should do this. No, I think I should do this. But this is the right thing to do. But I really want to do this. You're arguing with yourself. And this is what Paul experienced himself. So your spirit wants to do the right thing. But this morning we're talking about your body, which your body wants to do whatever is physically gratifying to the body. If you were to be able to communicate with your body, ask your body some questions, put it on trial. If you asked it what its number one priority was, it would say self-gratification. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And do you know how the body discerns all of those things? Grade 9 science, maybe grade 5 science, I don't know. Your 5 physical senses. Does it smell nice? I want to smell it. Does it look nice? I want to see it. Does it feel nice? I want to touch it. Like, it's your body is really simple. It operates based on 5 physical senses. And if you eat something that tastes good, guess what? You want to eat more of it. It's not very complicated. You don't have to pray and discern to try and figure out what your body wants. It wants things that feel good, taste good, smell good. All the 5 senses, that's how it is analyzing life. They're very simple things. And the only priority of your body is self-gratification. Your body does not have a moral standard. Do you know that? Your body does not know right from wrong. Your body knows, that tasted really good, I know I'm full, but please go get me more. Your body doesn't know that it's bad to do that. Your body doesn't care. Your body wants to be happy. But you know your body can actually physically force you to get up and go back to the buffet line? Did you know that? But it's in that moment that you really find out who's in charge. I know I've had 3 plates of dinner, but I really want something sweet. I need a cup of coffee. Isn't that so good, coffee drinkers? Coffee after dinner? Yeah. You just go, I just need a cup of coffee. Listen, you find yourself saying that, and you're like, red alert, red alert. You need a cup of coffee? Your body's calling the shots. Your body's telling you what to do, and you're just obeying. Give me this. Go get me that. Go do this. Your body's calling the shots. You know, when I try and picture the way that our bodies want to live, I can't help but picture a dog off its leash. You just take that leash off, and that dog is just sniffing around over here and scratching at the ground over there, and it's just like whatever feels good, just like go. That's what if you just let your body lead in everything, you'd be like a dog off the leash. Just do whatever you want. Let's get back into what Paul's saying here. Let's read verse 18 and 19. For I know, these are strong words, Paul, that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right. I haven't lost my good intentions. I haven't lost my ability to know right from wrong. I have the desire to do what is right, but what do I lack? I lack the ability to carry it out. I lack follow through. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Interesting. Paul does something that is remarkable and is very helpful for us in terms of understanding our identity. He says, there's nothing good in me. And then he says, that is in my flesh. See, Paul realizes that he is not defined by his body. He is a spirit being, and it's his flesh that he has a problem with. There's a whole lot of good in Paul. Do you know what's in Paul? The Holy Spirit, presence of God. There's a whole lot of good in Paul. He's saying that there's nothing good in my flesh. He specifies something. It's your flesh. It's not you. It's your body. There's nothing good that dwells there. Another thing to notice. Does this mean that everything that is in your flesh is evil? Because, I mean, you read this and you go, wow, there's nothing good in my flesh. Does that mean that everything in my flesh is evil and wrong? That means, if you're gonna take that to the other extreme, then you're going to say that everything that you enjoy is sin. Great service today, Pastor Tim. Sinner. You mean you enjoyed yourself? Paul isn't saying that everything that is of your flesh is evil. He says it's not good. Do you know what it is? It's neutral. It doesn't know right from wrong. There's nothing good in your flesh. There's also nothing evil in your flesh. It's just driven by self-gratification of the five physical senses. It doesn't know right from wrong. Your body, left to its own devices, will do whatever feels good, looks good, smells good, sounds good, and tastes good. So let's talk about some examples. Let's talk about food. Food's a wonderful thing. I thank God every day for food, at least 3 times a day. And he's given it to us in order to live. It provides nourishment for our physical bodies so that we can actually carry on. So your body telling you you're hungry is put there by God so that you don't starve to death. Okay, so it's a good thing that your body tells you when you're hungry, right? But we don't live in a society and a culture that eats for survival. You notice that? You don't wait until you're on the brink of your last breath to have something to eat. You have something to eat because you want to. I mean, we've made eating into a sport. The guy who invented the all-you-can-eat buffet was not on a mission to get rid of world hunger. He was not. He was on a mission to enjoy himself. So with food, we're driven by what we want. You eat something delicious and you want some more. That tasted good. Give me more. Add some more sugar to that. Sugar tastes fantastic. And we're beyond the point where we've unbuttoned the pants at the buffet table. I mean, we've taken the pants off. We're just like, bring on the food. Like, the television network is just like exploding with all these food channels now. And we're just watching all these like crazy things that they can do with food. And it's not for our nourishment, it's for our enjoyment. You know what I've had that's just changed my life forever? Peanut butter on a hamburger. Absolutely delicious. Delicious. Try it once and you'll never have ketchup and mustard again. But why do we do that? There's no value in having peanut butter on a hamburger. It tastes great, but it doesn't do what food is supposed to do. Food is supposed to nourish us, to keep us alive. So we're driven very much with food. But let's move on before we start feeling convicted of sin. Okay, let's talk about sex. Is sex good or bad? I wanted to hear more of a response before I moved on, but getting some hand signals in the background, some signs. Sex is good. It was created by God for us to enjoy. Sex is to be an enjoyable experience between a husband and a wife. But your body does not have the moral compass to be able to know what is appropriate and inappropriate in terms of sexual experiences. Your body doesn't care. Your body doesn't know if you're married. Have you found that out, single people? Your body does not know. It doesn't care. Do you guys want me to move on to something else? Is this? I mean, throughout human history, men and women's sexual desires have gotten them into a lot of trouble. It's because your body doesn't know. Your body just knows what it wants. Your flesh only knows what you're experiencing with your physical senses. So listen, young people in the room, singles, please deny the advice of the world that tries to tell you to wait until it feels right, because trust me, it'll feel right. They say, wait until you feel like it's the right moment. Trust me, it'll feel like it's the right moment. Your flesh will tell you, this is absolutely perfect. Do this. See, if your body's in control, you're going to make poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. But when your spirit, partnered with a renewed mind, says, no, here are my boundaries. Here's what I have come to a place of agreeing that is an appropriate place for intimacy in a marriage. So I'm gonna have that in marriage. And then when you do that, you're able to tell your body, no, this is a decision that we've made. So calm down. And then you can move on. Do we all want to move on now? Okay. What about leisure and relaxation? How many of you, after a long day of work, I mean, your body's just talking to you? Sit down on the couch, watch an episode of Downton Abbey, and half a season later, and, you know, it's bedtime now, and you haven't moved. Your body just wants to relax. Your body just wants to enjoy. I mean, your body wants to be able to just veg out and do nothing, and your body loves it. But you have that inner conflict all the while where you're going, I really should be probably maybe doing something. Right? So when you sit there and you wonder if you should watch the next episode, you know what's happening? Inner conflict. Inner conflict. Your body's going, stay, 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 watch, watch, watch. And all the while inside you're going, I really should turn this off. I should I was going to read that book. I told my spouse I'd go clean out the garage, and, you know, I'm supposed to be at work right now. You know, whatever it is that you got this inner conflict going on. Now, how many of you have noticed once your body gets a little bit of relaxation that it kind of wants a little bit more? It's never really satisfied, is it? You get back from vacation and you're like, oh, you know what I could use? Another vacation. It's exhausting. You don't come back ready to go back to work. You never come back ready to go back to work. Your body wants another vacation. It wants to sleep in. Have you noticed a pattern yet with all these things? I mean, your body desires these things. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying all these things are bad. Yeah. They're not. They're there. God placed them there for a reason. Your body's telling you to relax because you probably need to relax. You should sit down for a little bit. So don't think that I'm telling you you can't do any of these things. But here's the pattern. Our bodies know no boundaries. There's no boundaries in your flesh. No sense of right and wrong. So you've got to be the one to inform your body of what your boundaries are. So what does this mean? It means you crucify your flesh. What does that look like? You tell your body what to do. The Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and I keep it under control. I keep my body under control. Notice the separation there. Paul knows he is not his body. That's just what's on the outside. I tell it what to do. I discipline my body. I tell it what to do. You know, my body can't make me order dessert. It can tell me what it wants. It can't make me do anything. Your body may want you to quit your job, be unemployed for the rest of your life so you can sleep in and take frequent naps. Go golfing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. But your body can't make you type up a letter of resignation. So you got to tell your body what to do. No, we're not going to quit our job. We're not going to sleep in today. There's things I got to do. I mean, you have this inner conflict every day when your alarm clock goes off. Your body's going, stay in bed, 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 stay in bed. And your spirit and your soul is going, I got a job, I got a job, I got a job. I'm supposed to go to church, I'm supposed to go to church, I'm supposed to go to church. Stay in bed, stay in bed. Inner conflict. So who's in charge? Well, you find out who's in charge based on what you do, how you live your life. And it's this process, telling your mind what to think and your body how to act. You tell your mind what you think and your body how to act. You know, the church today has, on a large scale, we've forgotten the art of something called fasting, where you deny your body food, for example. You remind your body that it's not in charge. But I'm hungry. Too bad. You're not getting food today. You know what kind of a strength you build? But I'm thirsty. And you'll get a drink as soon as I let you get a drink. What are you doing? You are growing in understanding your identity, who you are. You're not your body. I'm not thirsty. My body's thirsty. But my body's here for me. I'm not here for my body. You start denying things to teach your body a lesson. When you fast, you deny your body physical pleasures. Not just for the heck of it. You do it for spiritual reasons. You do it to allow yourself to pray. You do it to allow yourself to focus in on God. You deny your flesh. And you know what that does? It makes it easier to yield to your spirit. It makes it way easier to yield to your spirit. You can have a great time of prayer, but it's probably not going to be as effective if you're taking frequent cookie breaks. Oh yeah, now where was I, God? Oh, I forgot to get my coffee. You fast. You starve something that your flesh wants to grow in something that your spirit needs dearly. When you crucify your flesh, you grow in your reliance on your spirit. So that when your body says, I want to watch the entire Star Wars series in one day, you'll have enough sense to say, well, that's just too bad. We're going to go for a walk. Well, I don't want to go for a walk. Excellent. We're going to go to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym. We just signed up for a marathon. But I want to sleep in. Well, that's too bad. Because you got a job to keep. You got somewhere to be. Get up. But I want to take a nap. Well, too bad. You're going to go read your Bible. And you're going to like it. And then you can take a nap. But I want to watch SportsCenter. I want to go shopping. Well, let me remind you, body, you're not in charge of me. So it doesn't matter if I want to go golfing today. I told my wife I'd clean out the garage, so we're not going golfing. Telling your body what you're going to do. Because you're in charge, not your flesh. Well, I want potato chips. I want ice cream. I want a cigarette. I want a drink. I want to go out. I want a party. I want to try something new. Well, that's too bad. Too bad. Because we're not doing that today, body. We're not doing that today. This is what we're going to do. And you set out your day and you determine what you're going to do. See, if you got a day with like no plans on it, you're just giving your flesh an excuse to tell you what it wants to do. Sleep in, sleep in, sleep in. Eat breakfast. Go take a nap. Here's what Paul won't let us forget. We'll read it again. Chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. Here's the truth. We lack the ability to crucify our flesh 100% of the time. We do. We lack the ability to do that. Why? He says this in verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it. What is it? It's sin that dwells within me. It's not me who's doing these evil things. It's the sin that's in me that drives me to do these things. So we fail to crucify our flesh 100% of the time because of this thing called sin that is chasing after us and leading us down wrong paths, temptations at every corner, big or small. It's no longer I who do this, but it's sin that dwells in me. Now, this isn't providing us with an excuse to sin. This isn't giving us a license to sin or dismiss the consequences of sin. This is a matter of understanding who you are in Christ. This is a matter of understanding your identity. Your spirit is perfect. As a child of God, if you have given your life to Jesus, your spirit is perfect 100% of the time. It's the only reason that God is able to forgive you is because he has actually recreated a perfect person in your spirit. In your flesh, you have sin. And it's this understanding of who I am in Christ, I am a child of God. Who I am in the flesh, I am prone to wander. I have a tendency to make bad decisions. And when you make that distinction, and here's the point that I propose Paul wants us to hear. I know you're struggling. I know that you love God. I know that you're wanting to do the right thing. But you still make wrong decisions. I know that your flesh is craving and desiring for you to do things that you're not supposed to do. But don't confuse the sins you commit with your identity. Paul says, when I do the things I don't want to do, it's not even really me. It's actually sin living in me. Paul's saying, don't confuse your mistakes with who you are in Christ. Don't confuse it. You're not identified based on your mistakes or your flaws or your sins. So do you have some issues in your soul? Yeah, that's why we've got to change the way that we think. We've got to renew our mind. You have some issues in your flesh? Absolutely. Your body has no moral compass. It doesn't know up from down, right from left. It just does whatever the five senses enjoy. We have some problems on our hands here. So in the midst of these, you find yourself in a situation where you didn't keep your body under control, when you discover that our bodies have been taking charge of our life for maybe a little too long, I believe Paul's encouragement is this: don't identify yourself based on that. Don't identify yourself based on that. You're not your bodies. You're not your sin. You are a spirit. And it's because of this truth that Paul goes on to write this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I get it. I get it. You make mistakes. You have good intentions, but you mess up. There is, because of Jesus, no condemnation. No condemnation to you. God forgives you because he knows that it's sin in you that is causing you to do that. And he goes on in the book of Galatians to say, you know what? It's not even anymore I that am living. It's Christ living in me. When I sin, it's sin living in me. When I do what's right, it's Christ living in me. So it's a matter of being able to choose, who am I going to let shine through in these decisions that I make? So if you're struggling with overeating and your body says, I'm hungry, you say, shut up! And then you go get an apple, a glass of water. You tell your body what to do. And I want to give you this one last encouragement. You spend any amount of time examining your life, your self, specifically your body, your flesh, the decisions that you make based on what feels good, smells good, tastes good, sounds good. You spend any amount of time examining those things, and you might feel a little discouraged. Here's my encouragement to you. Do you know the very place where God chose to have his Holy Spirit dwell? In your flesh. In your body, in that same part of you that has a tendency to continually make wrong choice, wrong choice, wrong decision, bad decision, made a mistake. That is the very place where God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell. And he says, I'm going to make my spirit dwell in your flesh. It's going to be a temple for God. So we need to be encouraged that God decided to dwell in this body. It's absolutely amazing that God would dwell within us. And here's the reality that we have from the Word. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who lives in you than he that lives in the world. I'm gonna change that around a little bit and suggest to you that this is also true. Greater is he living in you than the flesh that's living on the outside of you. It's greater. The God who is in you, the reborn again spirit that is in you, is far more beautiful than your sin and flesh is ugly. Some of you are wondering, did he just call me ugly? Yes. And I still love you. Greater is he who is in you than your flesh that just has no idea what's right and wrong. He's greater. He's greater. And so it's a lifelong process. What are you going to do tomorrow, Pastor Tim? I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to change the way that I think and I'm going to tell my body what we're doing. Guess what? It's Monday morning. We're going to work. We're eating breakfast. We're having this meeting. We're not having a donut at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're not watching TV for 4 hours at night. This is what we're doing. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call a friend and encourage him. You start telling yourself what you're going to do, flowing from your spirit. Renew your mind. Crucify your flesh every day. And God will bless it. Stand with me as we pray. God in heaven, we are honored that you have chosen to send us your Son, Jesus Christ, to place within us a clean heart, to exchange beauty for ashes. God, we thank you that you have given us a new life in Christ Jesus where there's no condemnation. God, going forth from here, I ask that you would help us change the way that we think and change the way that we act, that we would renew our minds and discipline our bodies, that we would truly live from the spirit out to the soul, and our body would follow in obedience. God, we thank you for your blessing upon us. We thank you for leading us where we have a lack of discernment and understanding, that you would order our steps, Father. We thank you for giving us wisdom where we lack it in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.